And then this comes to our second agenda item on matters arising. In particular, in reference to item three, and especially paragraph 3.2, I think all of you would have aware of Peter Wong's email to all members on November the 6th, raising a very key issue of whether only proponents, only or both proponents and opponents are to present their views. I noticed that there were previous occasions both at the HEC and at the Hong Kong Task Force of this Harbour Commission that we have invited both sides to present their views, but in most situations we didn't. I don't want to deal with this kind of an ad hoc manner and as a chairman action of a task force. So I think there could be some objective criteria. Generally, I think if many members feel that views from both sides would be helpful and important for a sensible and a fruitful discussion of the agenda item to take place, we should allow for that. But it won't be necessary for most of these agenda items. So I think maybe when the secretary circulates the agenda, please let him know if you would like to hear both sides. So if one-third of the members want to do that and both sides can be identified, we shall be able to do that. For the sake of efficiency, I'm also suggesting that maybe we can kind of hold this as a separate briefing session so that members who have raised that should go and other members will be invited to join. This small group would report back in the meeting when it comes back as a regular agenda item. Before, you know, kind of invite members to comment on this, I would like to highlight that this invitation to present views should focus on the agenda item. And it is not with the aim of to review procedures or to revoke any decisions. And we should make best use of the Town Planning Board's meetings, recordings, and so on, and in accordance with the terms of reference of the Task Force and the Harbour Commission. So any views from members on this? Yes, Paul?
I support the suggestion on with a couple of points to be made, though. Whether or not there should be a separate meeting, I think, is subject to whatever the topic is. So if it's necessary, it could be held as a separate meeting. I think it should not be as a given that is the procedure. And I think in general it comes down to another point that I've raised, and I think it's going to be dealt with under AOB, which is how we conduct our business and whether we're going to focus on action areas that we have defined in the HEC already.
Yes, it will be dealt there. You may reserve your comment then.
Thank you.
Yes, Chairman. As what you are suggesting may affect how the Commission as well as the task forces conduct their business, I suggest this be raised at the Commission, so that the full commission understand what the purpose are and how the proceedings will be conducted. Especially when nowadays there are many provision of information that members of the administration try to offer briefings at the request of the commission. So we need to really to know the scope of how businesses should be conducted. Thanks.
Thank you. So I think that's right. As actually in the email of Peter Wong, it also has been raised that this is an issue that all three task force have to deal with. And actually we have some informal meetings with the three task force chair, and we believe that because of the Lee Yu Moon case, we can start, you know, with the Kowloon task force. But definitely we can also, you know, kind of discuss about this at the Harbourfront Commission, either, you know, because we have to deal with the Lee Yu Moon case. That's why we are raising it here. Yes, Nick?
Chair, yes, I agree. I think we need to take it up to the Commission, and we need to make sure that all three task forces are operating on a similar basis.
Yeah.
And there may be items that come to the Commission as against the task forces, which we need to deal with as well. Thank you.
Any other comments?
To make a brief comment on the workload of the Secretariat. I hope members would appreciate that there's a lot of work because of the very energetic commission which have been set up for less than half a year. Just a very brief remark, especially for the harbour unit. It does not only serve the commission and two of the committees. It's actually also the policy arm and the executive arm driving many initiatives. So echoing what the chairman, Mr. Nick Brooke, proposed at the under AOB of the tourist of the last commission, he welcomed members to raise to him what are the major initiatives, the action areas, as well as performance indicators. So I hope members will come up with suggestions, and we also need to focus within the term of this commission, what does the commission want to achieve?
Thank you very much, Gracie. And I think we should all, you know, express appreciation for the hard work of the Development Bureau in supporting the task force and the Harbourfront Commission. And I think the comments of Gracie would also, you know, have implications on what we will talk about at the AOB. Yeah, but let's focus on this at the moment. I think, Paul, you have a comment?
Yeah, I don't think that this commission can be guided by shortages of manpower on the unit. The unit has to make sure that it is empowered and enabled to do the work that the commission sees needs to be done and gets the manpower required. If we're going to be led by the fact that there are no people, there was a conference last week, and the unit, if you see what the people's expectation are for what we are going to achieve out of the waterfront, there's a lot of work. And a lot of the work is very minor detail, including removing a little fence or putting a little footpath somewhere. If we don't have the staff and the resources in place, we can't deliver. So the unit will have to shape up. And I can just give you my personal experience now working with a DO office in the Southern District. The difference between this committee, which is looking after 57 kilometers of waterfront, versus what the DO can deliver for a small bit of Hong Kong Island. It is because they have the staff and the manpower to look after the removal of a fire hydrant, the removal of fans, putting a couple of seats somewhere. They have the manpower to deliver the details that are required. So I think I will not take the suggestion that we'll have to bend ourselves for a lack of resources. Resources have to be shaped to the enormous task that is in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick?
Just a quick response. First of all, there's a dialogue going on between myself and Mrs. Lamb about resources. There is a constraint, and I'm discussing whether possible ways of helping the unit to solve that. Secondly, on the priorities, I intend to table a paper in the next commission, which is a follow-up to my comments that I made last time. Identifying what I see as priorities, if you like, and also deliverables over the three-year life of the Commission. That will obviously be for discussion amongst the Commission members. Thank you.
So, thank you. Well, I think that basically I've talked about the general principles there, and do we have any other views? Right. If not, I think generally, like, these we did not receive any, you know, adverse comments, especially on the hearing of the two sides. And these issues, we would, you know, basically we would just report back that it has been discussed in the Kowloon Task Force, and we'll report back to the Harbourfront Commission and let the whole Harbourfront Commission to have a discussion of it, because the Harbourfront Commission basically also consists of some of the members here. So before that, we will, unless this has been confirmed and discussed at the Harbourfront Commission, basically we will still follow the rule of just inviting the proponents to present. Is that agreed? All right, so thank you very much. So we would move on to the other items of matters arising. So for items 3 to item 6, so basically there's a lot of follow-up actions and post-meeting notes. Just to echo Gracie's comment, the Secretariat has done a lot in following up, and they would continue to follow up on these views that the task force has put forward on the various proposals, and a lot of them will come back later to the task force for further comments. So, and then The last item of the matters arising will be for paragraphs 7.2 and 7.3 about the site visit to the Changsha Wan wholesale market. So prior to this site visit, the representative of AFCD will give us a briefing on that for this particular meeting, and some members of the Sam Shui Po District Council will also join the discussion there. That will be our discussion item later on. So that's the matters arising. So is there any other matters arising, Paul? Yes?
Yeah, I have two matters arising. One a general point. It took a lot of hard work to get these minutes to somehow to reflect the exact essence of the meeting. The first draft of the minutes were manipulated and did not represent the opinions expressed, which is very regrettable. And I think that, as in general, if somebody says something in this meeting and then later on finds out that what they have said is not correct or needs to be amended, let them amend so that a post-minute rather than trying to amend the minutes as such. They can always put in a post-meeting note or say in this meeting that they have said something that didn't make sense. And I think it's regrettable that that attempt was being made. These minutes should reflect the essence of the exact discussion rather than trying to be amended afterwards. And I'm sure that the bureaucracy has experience with making post-meeting amendments to minutes to reflect what everybody else thinks, but I think that that is not the right way to go about it. Let's keep the discussion honest. That is my first point in general. The second point on 3.17, Mr. Eric Yoon, his first comments in this meeting and in the papers that we presented to this meeting said clearly that the Oyster Shell Beach and the Rocky Outcrop were now included in the CPA in the Coastal Protection Area. In the second time when he made his comments after I pointed this out, he then said that it was only part of the Oyster Shell Beach. I've been provided now separately by the Secretariat a plan to show which part of Oyster Shell Beach is in the CPA zone and which one is not. And I'd like that to be distributed to this committee together with the exact marking of what constitutes the beach. And I pass this towards the Secretariat. The blue outline shows what is the beach. And the beach, clearly 90% of the beach, more than 90% of the beach, is in fact in the O zone and not in the CPA zone. So the statement that the beach is within now covered by a CPA and therefore given the impression it's protected is therefore entirely incorrect. It is not even part of, it is only a very minor part of the Oyster Shell Beach that is now in the CPA zone. But this can be addressed, Chair, in the future meeting if we can get this map properly sorted out. The final point is on 7.5. I noticed that the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority and the Wingshan Industrial Building people have decided not to give permission to put their presentations online. In the previous meeting, we discussed this possibility that people would refuse, but then there had to be an explanation. In principle, this is a public meeting, and anything that's presented here should be put online. And I think if the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority has any overriding need to say that what they've presented to us is not for public consumption and cannot be put online, I think that is in fact not necessarily appropriate. Same for Wing Chun. If they put something in front of us, it should be left for the public to see as well, because the public cannot attend this meeting. People can go back to the internet later on. So I think it's, first of all, we should be very harsh on people. If you want to show us something that is secret, don't show it. But otherwise, allow it to be put on the website. I think that's got to be the general approach. And otherwise, they have to declare in this meeting when they make the presentation that what they're about to show is that it's secret, so we can switch off the cameras. But I think to not stick it online, and therefore inconvenience people that are disabled, can't walk, can't get here, don't have the money to get to these meetings, and only can participate through the internet. We inconvenience them by not putting it online. I think that is highly unfair and is basically disabling access for a great part of the majority of our audience. So I think it should always be put online, unless there's a real overriding reason. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your 3 points. The first point about the minutes. I think I have two principles. The first one is, for all matters that has been discussed and raised in the meetings, members can propose any amendments in accordance to the views expressed. I have no problem with it, even if it is verbatim. Okay. So, and also I don't want to give the wrong impression. The reason for us to circulate the meeting is to welcome members to raise amendments, suggestions that could accurately reflect your views. So if that is the case, please put it forward. So I don't see that the round of revisions is kind of a problem as long as it's actually reflected, okay, what has been discussed in the meeting. So the second principle basically, if it is a revision that is of substantial new materials and papers on issues, for example, on Lee Yu-moon, well, I'm sure that there will be a lot of useful background materials or maybe a whole book could be compiled of it. But these materials could be useful for discussion. But I would insist that they would be put properly forward as background paper on the agenda rather than to be slipped in the minutes. And in fact, I think this is fair because the discussion of the meeting has not been made in light of these background information. So I'm suggesting that we should systematically present them in the next meeting. Right, so that's the first point. The second point is about your 3.17 about the boundary of the oyster shell beach. We have provided you with the information, but since you have raised it up and this could actually, you know, be of use to other members on the board, we will present all the materials about the oyster shell bay, and I think Eric would also be joining us in that particular meeting. He could further expand on it. And I think because at the minutes right now it says part of, even though it's 90% or 10%, it's still part of. So we just basically have to stick to what Eric has said over here, right? So the third point that you have raised is about 7.5, right? Oh, that is for not putting up the materials on the website. I think we could deal with that on two ways. The first thing is what has been done already, because we must respect the so-called offer of the PowerPoint presentation, etc. So we just ask them to provide kind of an explanation why these materials cannot be made available on the website, and that is being dealt with now for the first meeting. And in the future, I think the Secretariat could kind of liaise with the different parties who are going to present here, make sure that the materials that they want to present here can be available on the website, then they'll make that presentation. All right, I hope that successfully addressed some of your concerns. All right, so thank you.